hello there. Don't be alarmed. We're just preparing your listening device for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving. We do this, of course, by filling your radio with water. Don't worry, we're professionals. Thanks to me, you won't even get wet. You see, I've crammed every appendage of my body into the cracks and crevices of your radio, ensuring an airtight seal. By the way, don't touch your on-off knob. That's a very sensitive area. Anyway, I should remind you, we believe in the buddy system just like diving, so don't listen alone. Call your buddy and tell them that Scuba Radio is about to begin.
We're going to start a new life under the sea.
So, am I going to drown?
Of course not. Just stay calm and let the gentle currents relax your every muscle.
Under the sea. Under the sea.
Did it just get warmer?
There'll be no accusations, just friendly crustaceans under the sea.
Where the hell are the sharks?
And now, here's your dive guide for Scuba Radio, Greg the Dive Master.
And welcome. This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg the Dive Master. And a very special day, very special broadcast. We are recording today because, well, hey, look, it's my birthday, and right now I'm sitting in first class on my way to the Turks and Caicos. You will hear all about it next week on the big show. Our scuba radio scuba cruise literally leaving Provo today, and I got to fly over there. And so we're recording the show a couple days in advance. But I tell you, it's going to be worth sticking around for today because we got a lot of special guests, a lot of things to cover. And once again, it's my birthday. What could be more special than that? Well, I'll tell you, there's one thing, and the only person that I think would be appropriate for me to launch my official birthday bash show would be my partner in crime when it comes to diving, Mr. Neil Watson. He is on the line right now. How you doing, Neil?
Hey, dude, I'm doing great. Happy birthday, man. You made another one. This is fantastic.
Yes, we're already about 20 past I thought I'd make. So, you know, it's all icing on the cake the way I look at it now. So, hey, it's a good thing indeed. But Neil, a lot of stuff to cover other than my birthday. And you know, you've been traveling. I haven't had you on the show for the last few weeks because since we did that Legends of Diving event in Freeport, which was cool in its own right, you've been traveling the world.
Oh man, I flew out to Singapore for the ADEC show, which is kind of similar to DEMA, but it's in Asia, and it was kind of a rush trip. It was 32 hours there, 32 hours back, and I was on the ground like 48 hours. I got there on a Thursday, was there Friday, and left 6 o'clock Saturday morning.
Well, very nice, I guess. I don't know what to think about that. I mean,
don't ask me what Singapore was like. I don't even know, man. I was in a fog.
Exactly. Well, did you at least get to sample some unique food or something while we were there at the convention center, you know, concession stands or what?
Yeah, it was a big boat show, boat / dive show. Big Wave Dave was out there with the pool, and a lot of friends out there that I knew. So it was even though I was there two nights, there was a bit of partying.
Yeah, so I don't doubt. I mean, honestly, did you sleep? You're only there 30 hours. I mean, you could probably pull that all nighter. Yeah, I'm sure you've done it before.
Maybe 6 hours. I might have got 6 hours in.
Yeah, and then
ample for dive gods.
Exactly. Yeah, you are a better man than I for sure, and I know you could pull it off. So what? But what's the difference in the clientele? I mean, you say the ADEC show is kind of like the DEMA show, the big trade show here in the U.S. which is a world event, but what is it just like for that part of the world? And I mean, do they speak English? Do you have communication problems?
You know, Singapore was, I'd been all over China and Asia, but my first trip to Singapore, and really amazing. I mean, you hardly know you're out of the United States. It's a huge city, very multicultural, a lot of Europeans, Americans, Chinese, and everybody speaks English. It's a second language. It's compulsory in school. So language isn't a problem. And, you know, great shopping, great restaurants, great clubs. I got in there, like, got to the hotel, like, at 2 o'clock in the morning. I was traveling with my buddy Willie Klein, you know, that works for us with the Bahamas. And he says, boy, I'd love to get a nightcap and something to eat. And I said, Willie, it's 2:30 in the morning. You're not going to find anything open. He says, well, let's look. And we walk around the block, and there's nothing. Then I see some lights. And, like, 2:30 in the morning, walk in. Here's this rocking club. partying like crazy, live band, food. I said, when do you guys close? Five. And this was a Thursday morning, Thursday? So they know how to have a good time.
Well, I don't doubt it. But, you know, 5 o'clock to them, that's like 2 in the afternoon to you, right?
Well, it's you don't change your clock. I mean, if it's 5 o'clock in the morning there, it's 5 at night in South Florida.
Oh, okay. So well, that worked to your favor, I guess. So you guys ended up blowing it out and having some fun with the folks there. So, I mean, do you see any difference when you're talking to these folks as far as their diving habits, or is it the same anywhere you go?
They are at the gateway to, you know, the best diving in the world. I mean, they're you know, hour flights from like Philippines and or a couple hours in the Philippines and all the hot places in Asia. I mean, it's kind of like, you know, ground zero for world-class diving. So they're kind of spoiled, and a lot of the resorts were represented there, and you know, Oceanic was there, and of course Dan was there and Patty was there. So, you know, there's certainly a strong U.S. influence on the diving, and all of the instruction, of course, is Patty and Nowy and SSI. So it's you know, it's very familiar territory, but uniquely different, certainly from the States, and very, very enthusiastic crowd. I mean, it was here again, they're suffering like everybody else with the economy, and the show was down probably 40% from the year before, which was not just the economy. Apparently, they had to change dates right at the last minute. But a very, very well-produced show, and you know, it was they had a huge dedicated diving section, and then the rest of it was a huge boat show, both in tents, the convention center, and in water. So it was a pretty unique experience. Very cool.
Well, one of these days, I hope I can make it out there and do a little scuba radio broadcast. It's definitely on the list of places to go. But how do they react to you telling them about the diving in the Bahamas? I mean, if they have the Philippines right there on their doorstep, do they look at the Bahamas as exotically as we look at the Philippines if we're living in Florida or California?
You know, China, Singapore, all of that area. The Bahamas is perceived as this very high-end exotic destination, and it's kind of like it's like us thinking about Palau or Fiji, you know. So yeah, there's incredible interest and it was surprising how many people I talked to that had been to the Bahamas from that area.
Well, there you go. I mean, I would imagine, or, you know, the more I've traveled around the world, I find that more and more that the people that are from those areas, they're a little jaded. They're used to it. Like, we're living in Florida, we have the Bahamas on our doorstep, and sometimes we overlook the fact that we have this gem right here at our disposal and can go there and think that, yeah, you got to go to Fiji, you got to go to the Philippines or someplace to get in some world-class diving. But that's just not the case. It's right there in our backyard, you think?
You know, I mean, I dove the Bahamas for 20 years before I started traveling to other destinations. And you know, I mean, I love the Bahamas, and I knew the diving was good, but I always had this vision that all of these other places, you know, were so far more exotic and so much better diving and this, that, and the other. And as I started traveling and literally all over the world, you're hard-pressed to find any place better than the Bahamas, both diversity and coral and fish. It's truly a great destination, and it's 30 minutes from South Florida, so it's accessible, it's reasonable, and right now with this economic downturn, people are traveling, they're not going as far, they're not staying as long, and they're not spending as much money. So, you know, that's just the perfect market for the Bahamas. We got great lift from all over the country. You can leave Seattle, Washington in the morning, and you can be in the Bahamas in the afternoon, and that's pretty tough to do anywhere else.
Well, there you go. And you know, I don't think, I've said this before on the show, going to all these different destinations, it's not that one place is better than another. another. I mean, you get this question all the time from newbie divers or friends that aren't divers. They say, oh, where's the best place to dive in the world? And, of course, Neil, you may say the Bahamas because you're the president of the Diving Association in the Bahamas. But, hey, I mean, there's a lot to be said for that, for sure. But I have said, or I have learned from my limited exposure to different places in the world, is that it's just different. I mean, the diving in Fiji is different than some of the places, or the animals that you'd see in Fiji might be different than what we'd see in the Bahamas. But it's not that one is better than the other. You kind of agree with that?
Yeah, Greg, I've shared with you, because you're a close personal friend, of my worst diving experience and my worst sexual experience. And they were both fantastic.
Nice. Very good.
I don't think I've had a bad dive. And you know what? Whether it's off the coast of Fort Lauderdale, whether it's the Springs, you know, whether it's the Pacific, I mean, there's always something unique. There's something different. And rarely have I dove anywhere in the world that I didn't see something that I hadn't seen before and got psyched about it. So, yeah, so many places, so little time, man.
Well, that is true. And I know you're not resting on your laurels at this point, because you're heading to Brazil. Is that the deal next?
Yeah, well, I'm packing as we speak. I'm going to Rio this afternoon. Crimea River. Yeah, there's a boat show, dive show down there, and I'm going down, you know, just like Singapore, I wear two hats, one for DEMA and the other the Bahama Diving Association, and they have a big boat show, dive show, and there's a huge amount of active divers in Brazil, and they travel, their economy is good. At one point in time when I had a dive operation in Nassau, my biggest wholesaler wasn't in the United States, it was in the Brazil. They used to send me groups of 20, 25 divers every couple of months. So they're very active divers, and a bunch of shops down there.
Yeah, well, and they're unique folks, too. I mean, I'm on my way to the Turks and Caicos today, and we're doing our scuba radio scuba cruise with Explorer Ventures, and we're bringing Kelly, the Brazilian swimsuit model, on the liveaboard for her first liveaboard dive experience. And you've met Kelly before. I have a feeling it's going to be quite a unique adventure for her, but she's quite colorful in her own right. If you multiply that by thousands of people where you're going to in Rio, I don't know what's going to happen. That could be quite an interesting story. You're gonna have to keep me abreast of that one.
No pun intended.
No, absolutely it was intended.
abreast. Okay, got it.
You know, those Brazilian swimsuits.
We need a caper. I'm going back, I think, in October to São Paulo. There's a huge, a bigger boat show, dive show there. And I'm trying to get the DEMA pool down there, and it should be great. So maybe you could mark that on the calendar, and we can go down and do a live remote from São Paulo.
Well, there you go. Well, I think Kelly has family down there still, so maybe we can make that a connection. I know you have some personal connections to that part of the world too, so we'll have to pull them all together and make something happen, Neil. What do you think?
It sounds like a plan, my man.
All right. Well, enjoy yourself in Brazil. And, hey, thanks for helping me celebrate my little birthday bash today. Really appreciate it.
Hopefully many, many more. And, you know, it's not going to be long before you're diving in them depends, but enjoy it now.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network.
Hi, I'm Dr. Deborah Hill. A lot of people call me the Scuba Shrink or Dr. Debbie. I am a psychiatrist and an extreme diver, and I love the sea like all of you. You're listening to Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving. And now, here's Craig, the dive master, someone I'd certify as, absolutely nuts. But you know what? I love nuts.
It's good to know that I have Dr. Debbie to look out for me in case I have any mental issues. And I'll just leave it at that. We'll see her in a couple weeks, probably at the Long Beach Dive Show, the scuba show going on here in a couple weeks. We're planning to come out there and do a little broadcast as well. Now, on the line with me right now is Captain Marlon Scott. He is our man in the Keys who's keeping an eye on the Vandenberg that's about to be sunk off of Key West. How you doing, Scott?
Hey, Greg. Good to be on the show with you.
You got it, buddy. Vandenberg, it's coming into focus. The latest news is that, May 27th, Wednesday, this new artificial reef will be created off the coast of Key West. Is that what you're hearing, too?
Yeah, unofficial now. I had talk about the 29th or the 30th, and now I'm hearing the 27th. There's a five-day window from the 26th to the 1st that they shrunk it down to. Now it's looking more and more like the Wednesday of the 27th of May. And she'll put her down to the bottom, right off the western Sambos, Greg, right off of Key West, 7 miles from Fort Zach. It's going to be incredible.
Well, you know, I know the media is definitely starting to converge on Key West for this event. It is always a big deal when an artificial reef like this is created. I mean, we remember the Spiegel Grove from a few years ago. That turned into quite a fiasco. But the news media covering the sinking of the ship was huge. So who's coming down there? Are you getting calls from the Today Show and all the major networks? What's going on down there in Key West?
Well, really, you know, all the guys and the teams from Miami, of course, Miami Herald, they'll be on our boat. Also, NBC6 out of Miami will be on our vessel filming the whole thing. But our producer, one of our film producers, is going to be filming right there next to it, Greg, for National Geographic. Plus, we're talking Mythbusters is rumored to come down on the Discovery Channel. And who knows who else? There's a lot of international from the U.K., all kinds of representatives. Pretty excited about it. This is a very big event. It's historical for Key West and Florida Keys.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Now, the ship right now is docked there right at one of the marinas there in Key West, right?
Yeah, the Inner Mole, as we call it, is right at the end of Southern Street behind the Mohawk. And as the Vandenberg came into the Inner Mole, we were on the fantail of the Mohawk doing our live radio show, talking about it coming in. We've toured it during media day, and you guys, wait until you get a load of this ship. The relief is only 40 feet from the surface, so you've got a regular diver, snorkelers, glass-bottom boats, Greg, are going to be able to see the ship.
That'll be nice. That'll be really nice. Now, and this will be actually 10 feet longer, I think, is the unofficial length that I've heard reported, but 10 feet longer than the Spiegel Grove. So it'll be the second largest artificial reef behind the Oriskany off of the coast of the Panama City or Pensacola there. And it's huge. But are you getting any, comments from the folks up north in Key Largo going, yeah, 10 feet longer. Come on, guys. What's going on there?
Oh, yeah. They're not the ones that believe that bigger is better. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, but, I mean, you've been on the Spiegel Grove. You've seen the Spiegel Grove. Do you know what the difference in the type of ship the Vandenberg is going to be there, Scott, or what?
Well, the Spiegel is magnificent in its own right. It's got its own qualities that make it a national destination. The Vandenberg, the difference is the amount of structure, the amount of relief that goes from the 140-foot depth, where is where the hole is going to sit, all the way up another 100 feet of different ledges, satellite dishes. You can literally swim down the middle of the satellite dishes and then come out underneath on the main deck. It's really a lot of structure, and a lot of structure for 100 feet tall. That's the difference.
Well, it'll be quite the underwater playground, I have no doubt. And I believe they have like 6 or 8 mooring balls on the Spiegel Grove, so I imagine the same type of setup is going to be set up for the Vandenberg. Have they been talking about that yet, too?
Yeah, they're going to put 7 total mooring balls on the Vandenberg, and I believe the Spiegel has 8. There were some questions about maybe we should have more. So tentatively, there's going to be 7 total.
All right. Well, very good. Well, thanks for the report there, Scott. We're going to come down probably a couple weeks after the sinking and dive this baby, assuming things go as planned. You know, May 27th, the tentative date, a Wednesday, or shortly thereafter for the sinking of the Vandenberg. Of course, we'll keep you abreast of all the situations right here regarding that artificial reef. More coming up. Stay close.
Scuba Radio.
Scuba.
Scuba Radio.
We started producing Scuba Radio in 1997, the same year that Designated Diver Sportswear made its debut at the DEMA show in Anaheim, California. Designated Diver Sportswear has pretty much been our supplier for Scuba Radio tees ever since. It was their commitment to quality and stylish diver designs that caught our attention then and continues to this day. Designated Diver's unique combination of silkscreen printing and embroidery have become the gold standard for those who want to express their divers and are proud of it. So popular, in fact, that many divers around the world now collect them. Of course, over the years, Designated Diver has evolved into more than just diver tees. They were recently acquired by Designated Sports Incorporated, featuring additional lines like Yak Heads for kayaking and paddle enthusiasts, and It's What I Do, the lifestyle line of fun tees that let you express your passion for the sport or activity that you do and enjoy. Go to designatedsports.com to see all the latest styles and put them to work for you and your organization today. No projects too big or too small. That's designatedsports.com. Welcome back to the world's first radio show devoted to diving. Greg the Dive Master. It's my birthday. I'm on my way to the Turks and Caicos, flying first class right now as we hop on board another Scuba Radio Scuba Cruise. And we're recording today's show, but a lot of great diver news and information to cover on today's broadcast. And to help me kick it up a notch right now is Glenn from Aquanauts Grenada. How you doing, Glenn?
Hi, Greg. I'm doing fine. I'm doing great down here in Grenada. Congratulations to your birthday. I guess it's your 21st. You can drink now.
Yes, exactly. I can finally drink legally. Yeah. So, you know, and I got to do some drinking down there. You guys have not only, I'm sure, a favorite beverage or two there in your stash when you're not diving, but the diving down there, as you've mentioned on the show before, is quite spectacular. And you got some cool events coming up that we need to tell folks about, right?
That's right. Yeah. And, you know, we do some drinking, some, you know, cocktails and especially great rum cocktails. And we have our singles week coming up in June, from the 3rd of June to the 10th.
Okay, she said, by the way, hold on, Glenn, you said singles week, not swingers week. I just want to make sure we differentiate the two.
Yeah,
it could be a little bit. It could be.
That's a big difference. Yeah, that's a big difference.
We got
no, singers.
Yes.
Or solo divers week.
Yes,
you know?
Solo divers, single divers. This is an opportunity for you to meet some diving friends that kind of share your passion and meet in Grenada and experience. Like the wreck down there. What's the name of the popular wreck you have there off the coast?
Our great wreck is the Bianca Sea.
Yes, the Bianca Sea, right.
The Titanic of the Caribbean, yeah.
The Titanic right. of the Caribbean, yeah. Now, that would be a good place to hang out, meet some folks, and share your passion for diving. So what does it entail? Like, is singles week a thing where singles can go and not get hit with, like, that single diver, you know, add-on cost or what, Galind?
That's exactly right. There is no single supplement to pay. You're going to be shared with the same sex person unless you request otherwise. But
well, that's swingers week. That's a totally different week. Yeah, well, hold on, Galind. We got more to talk about, including some rebreather stuff they got coming up at Aquanauts Grenada. Stay close.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network.
Scuba Radio. Scuba Radio.
Prepare to rig for dive!
Your surface interval is complete. You are now clear to dive with Scuba Radio.
Scuba Radio.
The world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio.
Dive, dive, dive.
Hi.
Hey. I don't even know where to start with this one. Take a look at that. A scuba diver up a tree. Wow.
How the hell did he get up there?
He couldn't have climbed up there with all that crap on.
Got up there somehow.
Well, you know, Lake Mead is just over the hill, and the copters are dropping water.
I'm a scuba diver. I got a lot of gear. A regulator and a fishing spear. A PC, a compass, a diving watch. A bang stick that hangs between my crotch. My weight belt snorkel, prescription mask. My super jet fins, I go real fast. I go real fast, I go real fast. I'm a scuba diver and it's a gas.
And welcome back to the world's first radio show devoted to diving. Greg the Dive Master. It's my birthday, and I have Garland and Peter on from Aquanauts, Grenada. How you doing, Peter?
Hey, I'm wonderful, you know, and I've been diving Bianca Sea this morning, you know, bathing in the fish, have a lap in the swimming pool of the cruise ship, and it was just great. And I can't actually wait, because in about 4 weeks, we're going to have the guys from Silent Diving coming down here, and we'll introduce rebreather diving to Grenada.
Nice. So not only do you have a singles week going on here coming up in a few weeks, after that or shortly after that, a rebreather week with Silent Diving Systems, right?
Yes, exactly. We're going to do a lot of training down here, and we're going to keep some of the units. We're not going to let them take all of them home. And from then on, we will be a rebreather-friendly destination.
Excellent. So is this an opportunity for people to come down during that week and kind of demo the units and do some training on them, or what?
Yes, basically. We're going to offer the whole nine yards. We will have basically all the stuff that you need, like the spare tanks, the scrubber material, etc. We will offer trial dives on the rebreather units. We will have the Evolution and Inspirations here. And then we're going to offer the whole range of certification courses.
Now, what about you personally, Peter? Are you into the rebreather diving already, or is this kind of going to be new to you as well?
I always wanted to do this since I was a little kid, you know, and this stuff was out. And whenever I looked into it, there was either no money or no time or mostly all of the above. And now it becomes true. I mean, you know, we look into this as a way for the future of scuba diving.
Yes. Well, rebreathers are definitely a cool technology, and a lot of people don't know that the technology's been around for many, many years, and it's just recently where they're starting to refine it and make it a little bit more user-friendly, but for taking underwater photos and just having a totally different type of underwater experience, a rebreather will definitely add that element to the mix, don't you think?
Exactly. That is the whole point, you know, and basically rebreathers still have a little bit that touch of technical diving that is almost for nobody, like Nitrox had 20 years ago. Today we're all diving Nitrox, and it's about time we go the next step.
Well, there you go. Yeah, that's a great analogy for sure. It's the new Nitrox, rebreathers. Why not? I'll go with that.
Yeah, no, that's for sure. No more bubbles. You know, in the old days, we used to say, you know, go diving and leave only bubbles, touch nothing, and now we're not even going to leave bubbles.
That's assuming you didn't have, you know, like Taco Bell for lunch and then went diving. You hear what I'm saying?
Yeah, I know what you mean, you know, but... Yeah, that's all the greenhouse gas, you know?
Well, we got to do our part for sure. All right, it's Aquanauts Grenada. Get information on Singles Week as well as their rebreather adventures they got coming up there. And, Peter, have fun. Thanks for checking in on my birthday.
Hey, thank you very much. A lot of exciting things are happening, Daniel.
No doubt.
It's time for people to come and see us.
You got it, Peter. Hey, we got a Dan tip next.
Do you want to talk diving or tell Greg the Dive Master he's all wet? Then call Scuba Radio now at 1-888-88-SCUBA.
You suck. You have to survive when you're scuba diving 30 feet underwater. The next time you dive, suck air through Oceanic's new Delta 4 regulator with dry valve technology. DVT eliminates moisture, corrosion, and host deterioration. The Delta 4 also features an FTX10 balanced diaphragm for years of hassle-free diving. So admit it, you suck. And you should be sucking on a Delta 4 by Oceanic.
I'm always the first to run low on air.
I'm adjusting my BCD all the time.
It feels that I spent half my dive swimming back to the dive boat and on the surface.
You can learn to improve your diving so that you can feel more confident with your skills and more comfortable in the water thanks to the Professional Association of Dive Instructors. Peak Performance Buoyancy and the Navigation Specialty Course are just a few of the many PADI offerings to consider. Visit PADI.com to find the PADI Dive Center nearest you. PADI, the way the world learns to dive.
On the line with us is Neil Watson, the depth and distance world record holder for scuba diving. He's also the president of the Bahamas Diving Association. Neil, just what is it about the Bahamas that makes diving there so attractive?
Greg, one of the unique features is our diversity. We're 100,000 square miles, literally 50 miles from the U.S. mainland, whether it's sharks, wrecks, reefs, walls. We have everything that any diver and even a non-diving spouse could ever want for a dive destination.
You can start planning your Bahamas adventure at BahamasDiving.com. The Bahamas, our 700 islands, could change you forever.
Here at Scuba Radio, we've been fans of force fins for years. With over 12 styles and just about every color imaginable, force fins are in a league of their own. Now, they aren't the biggest company out there, just the best. So sometimes force fins are hard to find. That's why we've made the whole line of force fins available on the merchandise page at scubaradio.com. Order yourself a pair today, and they'll be delivered right to your door and be ready for your next dive. That's the merchandise page at scubaradio.com.
Scuba Radio, Divers Consumer Tip number 406. The following is more of a warning than a tip. Beware the fearsome King Kong. He is slowly terrorizing the sea floor at a rate of 2 inches every month.
Hey, that snail was about to charge.
To please the gods, we'd sacrifice a virgin, but we couldn't find any on our boat.
For 15 years, she kept her virginity. Not a bad record for this facility.
So now, here's a Dan safety tip you can really use.
And yes, that means it's time for the real Dan Good Diving safety tip. And in the studio is Jeff Myers, a COO and Vice President of Training for Divers Alert Network. How's it going, Jeff?
Going great, Greg. What are you up to?
Just checking a dive report.
Dive charter?
Stock market.
Ouch.
Yeah, well, it's the pain we're all feeling these days.
Yeah, but happily, it doesn't mean the end of diving.
That's the great part about water, water everywhere. Find a puddle big enough and you can dive.
You said it. I've talked to a lot of divers lately who aren't skipping a single dive. They're just enjoying them a little closer to home.
There's a lot of great diving to be done at a local level, even if you're not living in Florida.
That's a true statement. But just because you're diving local doesn't mean you can be lazy about your diving habits.
Do tell.
Even if you're diving a site that's your second home, you still need to do all the planning and preparation you'd do if you were going on a trip.
Such as?
Start with the site. Think through what kind of dive you'll be doing and what the conditions will be. It might be a quarry with a significant depth or temperature challenges, or visibility that's a little different than you've seen in a while. You could be diving a lake where there are topographical conditions of which you need to be aware. Or maybe you're lucky enough to be living in a coastal region, in which case you need to be familiar with some of the specifics of shore diving and local marine life.
I see what you mean.
Every dive has a unique set of conditions you need to consider. Take some time to get a layout of the site. Remind yourself about landmarks you'll use for navigation, what the potential hazards are, that sort of thing.
And once you've acquainted yourself with the site and plan to dive?
Go through your gear and make sure it's ready for it. Has it been serviced and properly maintained? Do you have proper exposure protection? Are there any accessories you need, like a dive reel or a dive light?
How about emergency procedures?
Absolutely, you should think about them. Are you familiar with the local procedures? Do you have emergency oxygen on hand, and do you know where it is? Is there staff on site to assist in an emergency, or are you on your own? And if you will be the responsible person, are you up to date on your emergency training?
What about you as a diver?
That's as important a piece as any. Are you physically fit enough to be diving? Are you mentally prepared to do the dive?
It sounds like even if you've cut the travel budget, you can't cut corners.
That's the truth. A common mistake a lot of divers make is that when they stay close to home and dive a familiar site, they get complacent. It's human nature, and we all get complacent from time to time, in and out of the water. But not taking the time to plan and prepare for a dive properly, even on a site you know really well, can be the difference between a safe dive and a bad day.
So the good news is that no matter what the economy is doing, there's no reason to quit diving. And the better news is that all the rules we apply when we do the travel and adventure diving still apply and keep us safe, even when we're in our own backyard.
And those are the kind of dives that'll make you happy every time.
Local diving offers a lot of adventure and opportunity to sharpen your skills. But just because you're local doesn't mean you can be lazy. No matter where you plan to submerge, take the time to do it right. plan and prepare each dive thoroughly, regardless of where you are or how many times you've been there. Do that, and you're guaranteed damn good diving.
That was beautiful.
Only you can prevent diving accidents. Divers Alert Network is your dive safety organization. With your support, Dan will continue to provide the research, service, and benefits to make your next dive a safe dive. So don't be a dinghy. Join Dan today by calling 1-800-446-2671.
Okay, so I am literally heading to the Turks and Caicos right now for our next Scuba Radio Scuba Cruise. Now, Single Scott from singlescott.com, you know him, you love him, he's on the line right now. He just got back from a liveaboard cruise with Necton Cruises. Scott, how was it, buddy?
Oh, we had a great time. The boat is awesome. It's one of those boats that doesn't rock. It has these pontoons under the water, and it's real wide, and it's very stable. And we had a perfect time.
Yeah, they call it the no seasick boat because of the technology used to build this vessel. Makes it look like a giant box on the water, but what it has two pontoons that are submerged under the waterline, which absorb all the wave action that you would typically encounter on a more traditional vessel, right?
Well, that's exactly it. There were some people that were kind of worried about being seasick because they had been seasick in the past. But they didn't have any, didn't have to take any medication. They just had a great time. Never, nobody felt queasy or anything.
Yeah, it is a very stable vessel. Probably the most stable vessel or dive platform I've been on in the world to date. And great folks that run that operation. So let's talk a little bit about the diving you encountered. You went out of Fort Lauderdale because they picked you up right there at Port Everglades, right?
Right. We went out of Fort Everglades. Then we went over to Freeport. And checked in with the Bahamas, you know, the custom stuff. And then we just started diving.
So you check in at Freeport. Did you get off and actually see a little bit of Freeport, too? Or did they just check into customs and everyone stay on the boat, or what?
They offered a shore excursion later while we were kind of in the area. Not the first day. Everybody was anxious to get diving, and so they postponed the shore excursion.
I gotcha. All right. So everyone got in the water, wanted to see the diving, and so you left Freeport and headed northwest, east, what?
I think we went a little east and kind of followed around. They went and checked out the weather so they could, there was some current in some of the sites. A couple times we did a couple drift dives. Couple times during our morning interval, we went looking for dolphins and actually found some one day and got to snorkel with some dolphins.
Really? Very nice.
Oh, it was very nice, yeah.
So how did that work? They just a chance pod of dolphins swam by and they said, hey, we're going to kill the engines, or were they already anchored, or what?
Well, they kind of knew where they were, so during our interval after our first dive, they took the boat over to where they usually see them, and sure enough, they saw them, and then we went in. And you clap your hands on the water and make a bunch of noise, and they were blowing whistles. And one of them came by and checked us out, and then he left. Well, he went and got four friends.
Yeah. He said, hey, check out these goofy-looking dolphins. Oh, my gosh, you never seen anything so ugly.
And he came back with four of his friends, and they played with us, I don't know, for 15, 20 minutes.
All right. Well, very cool. So you had a little dolphin encounter as a bonus to your liveaboard diving, huh?
Did, and the water was clear. Visibility was running 80 to 100 feet every day. The weather was perfect for 7 days, and the water's really warm. I wasn't expecting that warm of water first part of May.
Yeah, exactly. Well, what kind of water temps are you talking?
It was 78, 79 degrees.
Really?
Yeah. Whoa. I mean, there were people diving without wetsuits, some of them in shorties. Yeah, it was beautiful.
All right. Well, I'm going to the Turks and Caicos. Maybe the water temp will even be warmer because that's a little farther south, which will be very conducive for Kelly, the Brazilian swimsuit model. You hear what I'm saying?
I didn't know Kelly was going on.
Oh, yes. Well, she's a swimsuit model, so the warmer water will definitely help in the birthday bash festivities. What do you think, Scott?
Absolutely. She's easy on the eyes, no doubt about it.
All right, we'll talk more about the food and the accommodations on the Necton Pilot, which Scott just encountered, next.
Here on the island.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network.
Are you ready for liveaboard diving at its best? Well, then you're ready for Explorer Ventures. Explore the Bahamas, the Northeast Caribbean, Turks and Caicos, Australia's Great Barrier Reef, even the Galapagos, all while enjoying the comfort, convenience, and effortless diving only an Explorer Ventures award-winning liveaboard can provide. Explorer Ventures has been making divers' dreams come true for 20 years now, and yours could be next. Call 1-800-322-3577 or go to explorerventures.com. That's explorerventures.com.
Yeah. one.
I heard a show
on the radio.
Where divers speak about
what's
in the sea.
What's in the sea?
Now I know. It was the first show
devoted
to diving. We all listen to Scuba Radio.
That's right.
Scuba Radio.
Everybody.
Scuba Radio.
Yes.
We all listen to Scuba Radio. Scuba Radio.
And welcome back to the world's first radio show devoted to diving. Single Scott is on the line from singlescott.com. He just got back from a Necton cruise out of Fort Lauderdale and went into the Bahamas, encountered dolphins, saw some great diving. The water temp was a little warmer than he expected, which is very good considering we're, in May. I love the fact that we don't even have to consider thinking about wetsuits at this point. Hey, look, there's a bright side to global warming. Maybe. Who knows, right, Scott?
Well, it certainly was that way, and the water was clear, and it was just perfect.
Yeah, so you saw some cool critters, I would imagine. You guys do a shark dive while you're out on this adventure as well, or what?
We saw sharks on almost every dive. There wasn't one that was specifically sharks, but they would come by. Yes, there was. There was one shark dive, the second to last day, and I'd say there were a dozen sharks just cruising around.
Very nice. All right, now what about the accommodations on the Necton Pilot? What did you encounter there?
Well, I had a really nice room, had three big windows that looked out. Everybody else had, the same similar stuff. And, it was real comfortable. Big room, private bathroom, all the amenities.
Yeah, I love the top deck of that vessel because you got the engines down in those pontoons below the waterline. It can be very peaceful, and it's nice and big, plenty of room to stretch out, enjoy the sun, or just check out the stars in the evening.
Well, it's huge. I mean, it's 40 feet wide. There must have been 20 lounge chairs. There's a jacuzzi up there. Most of our briefings were up there. And you keep your wetsuits up there, and they get a nice breeze. And every morning it was perfectly dry wetsuits, which is quite a comfort.
Very nice. So let's talk about the most important thing of all, the food. What did you weigh going on? What did you weigh coming off?
Oh, I thought you were going to say alcohol.
Well, yeah, that's part of it, too. But
the food was great. Had a nice chef. He would cook a cook-to-order breakfast. There was also bagels and all the regular yogurt and regular morning stuff. They put on the board what you're going to eat all day, and if your stomach doesn't like something or you have allergies or whatever, they'll cook you something else, and they're real accommodating.
I was just going to say, you're not going to tell us, are you? And you say put on a couple pounds. Well, that's a sign of a good liveaboard adventure. You got to put on a couple quality pounds when you're on these vessels. I'm sure I'll be doing the same in the Turks. NectonCruises.com. You can check out the Necton Pilot or Raqual and get information and go diving like Scott did. Hour two on deck. We're going to learn more about underwater photography and making the best of those special shots you get underwater. Stay close to the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated. Scuba
Radio. This seems the logical place for fish to congregate.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past editions of Scuba Radio worldwide over the internet at scubaradio.com.
So we're in international waters?
Indeed so.
Tell a friend and buddy up with your radio every week for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Well, it's all very nice here, but we should be going. I miss me wife and me oxygen.
Yes, we all miss our loved ones and gases. Let's go.
The opinions you just heard on Scuba Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests.
Okay, what I just heard? Blah, 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 blah.
They are not necessarily those of any station or network, its management, or advertisers.
Come on, quit yanking me.
Scuba diving does involve risk and should never be conducted without proper instruction and training.
Oh, what's the worst thing that could happen?
I could die.
Have any questions or comments? Feel free to do so via the web at scubaradio.com.